Hi everybody, it's the 18th of July 2023 and today's teaching is titled The Extravagance of God. About a month ago, my family and I were in Durban for our annual leave, and within a day of our arrival, the annual sardine run arrived at the beach we were at. And although I've witnessed this phenomenon before, it was such a profound experience for me this time round. The internet describes it as a phenomenon, as one of the greatest wildlife spectacles anywhere on earth, rivaled only by the annual migration of the wildebeest. And so along with countless others, we dropped everything and made our way down to the beach to spectate. Three boats were on the shore, and we watched as buckies with winches pulled in three massive nets so full that they were bursting at the seams. And I'm going to attach a photo for you after this. But you know how I always try and visualize the stories I read in the Bible? I've often told you to try and do it yourself because it just makes it so much more alive. Well, this image immediately made me think of the story of when Jesus called the four fishermen to be his disciples. And that story is found in Luke 5, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 5. It says, "So it was that the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And now listen to Simon's response. He said, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.'" The first thing I want to point out is that Simon Peter had a problem. He was a fisherman by trade, and although he had done all the right things, including fishing at night, which is proven to be the best time to fish, he had come up empty. And so a seasoned fisherman, who I would imagine was stressed at not having been able to earn wages that day, he had all but given up and was packing up for the day. And then this carpenter, whom Peter had heard about, and I refer to Peter, it's obviously Simon Peter, tells him to recast his net, and obviously not at the best time. And then he provides supernaturally the moment that Simon Peter obeys. In verse 6, we see it says, "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink." It later says in verse 9, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken." In verse 11, we learn that they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. And as I stood on that beach, I just marveled at the extravagance of God's provision. This was one stretch of beach on day one of the sardine run, and the sheer number of fish was breathtaking. But here's the thing. To the naked eye, from our vantage point where we stayed, there was no way that we would know under the surface of the sea that it was teeming with billions of fish. Some would argue that a similar thing happened that day to Simon Peter and his fellow fishermen. But I asked one of the boat owners how they knew when the sardines had arrived, and he explained that although it's an annual event, it was not always guaranteed, but that they knew more or less when the fish would reach their area, and so they had scouts on the lookout. Interestingly enough, they make use of satellite images to monitor the denseness of the water. It's incredible. And they also make use of high-frequency sonar devices, drones, helicopters, and microlights. But one of the first indicators is an increase in the number of whales, sharks, dolphins, and floating pontoons of gannets, which are birds, and they are all waiting for this feast. Isn't that amazing? But for me, this whole experience just spoke of God's extravagance, and it challenged me because I wonder how often I miss his supernatural provision in my life, because like the sea, I just don't see it, or perhaps I see it, but I don't know how to partake of it. God's word says in Philippians 4 verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." In Psalm 37 verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." And I can go on and on. There are so many promises about his provision in the word. So why is it that we don't see it in our lives? Just last week, I was so despondent at how my retreats project was not flowing and proceeding the way that it should. And then on that beach, as I looked around, I got my answer. From personal experience, I believe there's three main reasons we miss it. Number one is just plain ignorance. We don't know that it is available to us, or else if we know, we don't know how to access it. Those on the beach without the fancy detection methods or the tools to fish had no way of knowing or appropriating this phenomenal provision. The Word of God is the place we learn what Jesus has made available to us through the cross, and it's also the place we learn how to tap into it. The second reason is that we choose, either consciously or subconsciously, to do it our own way instead of God's way. Simon Peter tried his own way first, and I have often caught myself trying to do things myself. Neither of us have enjoyed the supernatural provision of God when we do that. We all have a myriad of needs, physical, financial, emotional, you name it. But the moment we cooperate or operate in self, sorry, not cooperate, when the moment we operate in self-reliance, we cut off the supernatural provision that has already been provided for God, for by God himself. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times you may abound in every good work." In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, it says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." When last have you truly surrendered every need to the perfect Father and trusted him to be your source, instead of battling along by yourself? I certainly have had to relook at my own life. And then thirdly and lastly, the third reason I believe we miss it is because we're just not prepared. There's just no expectation. The definition of expectation is a strong belief that it will happen or that it will be the case. That day on the beach, I noticed that those with the greatest expectation had the biggest supply. The whales, dolphins, sharks, and gannets who patiently waited for the sardines to arrive had a limitless supply. They absolutely gorged themselves. Then the fishermen, who were expectant for days, and they had fully gassed their boats, loaded their nets, the crew were on standby, the crates were on the buckies, they were the ones that took the next biggest haul. We, along with the countless other spectators, were ill-prepared, and until we'd made a plan, could not partake at all. Because let me tell you, the moment you get down there, even though you just went to look, you want to be a part of it. We eventually got someone to bring us 2 cooler boxes, and I was so sad to see others struggle to find anything that they could to collect fish in. They were emptying dustbin bags, they were filling their skirts and shirts, and it's right there where I realized that we have to approach God expectant of what he promises. Remember the definition, a strong belief, or else we will always only ever be spectators of how others receive their provision, blessing, and fulfillment of his promises. I don't want to go another day missing God's extravagance, and I pray the same for you. And so in closing, learn what he has given us and how we can receive it by reading the Word of God. Submit your needs to him and stop relying on yourself. And start living with expectation, and I guarantee you that you will experience abundant life. I want to close off by saying that as I spoke to that fisherman and learned how they track those sardines, I love how despite all this fancy technology that they use, that the still the most reliable indicator of its pending arrival is nature. And let me tell you, folks, that is God. Not only did Jesus guide Simon Peter to the perfect place and the perfect timing for him to have that huge catch, but that encounter with Jesus completely changed his life. And as he forsook all to follow him, an incredible life followed. As you look to Jesus as your source from today, I believe that the same could and would be true for you. Have a blessed week. Goodbye.